What is the baseline guidance for biomarker testing for colon cancer? What should we get if we're not ordering a multiplex analysis? What specific things should we be looking for at baseline? And that includes, again, expanded RAS, BRAF, and microsatellite stability. So let's talk first about BRAF-mutated colon cancer. So BRAF V600E mutations occur in about 8 to 10% of patients with metastatic colorectal cancer. And interestingly enough, when we started to see BRAF inhibitors being developed for treatments of patients with melanoma, we said, oh, well, this is great. We could maybe use these BRAF inhibitors for patients with BRAF-mutated colon cancer. And so when we gave them, we saw very small responses for the colorectal cancer patients. And there was some beautiful work that was done on both sides of the pond, both in Boston as well as in Amsterdam, trying to figure out why that was happening. And what we saw is in colon cancers, patients with BRAF mutations, when they're treated with BRAF inhibitors, upregulate the EGFR receptor on the surface of their cancer cells, which becomes an escape mechanism for BRAF-mutated colorectal cancer cells to escape the BRAF inhibitors. And so what we've learned is we probably have to combine treatment with a BRAF inhibitor and an EGFR inhibitor to treat patients with BRAF-mutated colon cancers. And I'm going to, as an aside here, I'm also going to say this is a really important learning for us too, because not all BRAF mutations across tumors are the same. And so we have to remember that when we see a certain mutation on our molecular profiles, it may not be the same in different tumor types. So what does that all mean in terms of our treatment? Well, we looked in terms of adding an EGFR inhibitor to a BRAF inhibitor for patients with BRAF-mutated colon cancer. This is the SWOG study that looked at vemurafenib, a BRAF inhibitor, plus cetuximab, plus irinotecan in the second-line setting for BRAF-mutated colorectal cancer patients versus cetuximab and irinotecan alone. And you can see here this primary endpoint of progression-free survival, significant advantage to using the BRAF inhibitor plus EGFR inhibitor plus chemotherapy for these patients. And this is one of the original trials that really showed that difference in a randomized fashion. Even more recently, we looked at a completely targeted approach through the BEACON trial, which looked at binimetinib, which is a MEK inhibitor, so that's along the RAS-RAF-MEK pathway, encorafenib, a BRAF inhibitor, and cetuximab, the EGFR inhibitor for patients with BRAF-mutated colorectal cancer. And this was a randomized study that looked at the triplet therapy versus the doublet therapy of a BRAF inhibitor plus EGFR inhibitor versus dealer's choice of a irinotecan-based therapy with an EGFR inhibitor. And we saw some very beautiful data come out of this with this overall response rate for the triplet of 26%, median overall survival of 9 months compared with 5.4 months with that hazard ratio of almost 0.5. Interestingly enough, even the doublet had very good responses as well as benefit in overall survival to treat those patients with BRAF V600E mutations. So we see a very specific molecular profile that needs a very specific treatment. Patients who have BRAF-mutated colorectal cancer in general have a poorer survival than BRAF wild-type. They have about half the overall survival. What about HER2? We think about HER2 in breast cancer, and that's where we looked at a lot of the data. And how can you tell by immunohistochemistry whether or not a patient has HER2, 1 plus, 2 plus, or 3 plus? And one thing that we learned was a very important lesson, which I just bring up here, is that HER2-expressing GI cancers look much different under the microscope than HER2-expressing breast cancer. So when you're looking at that pathology report, and it's really relying on the pathologist to have experience in looking at HER2 staining of GI cancers as opposed to breast cancer, where GI cancers are going to have this sort of luminal staining that's going to look very different than the breast cancer patients. And here is an assessment of HER2 status in metastatic colorectal cancer that came from the study that looked at the combination of trastuzumab and lapatinib for patients with HER2-positive disease. And this is how they defined by both IHC or FISH analysis a HER2-positive colorectal cancer patient. And this is the HERACLES trial itself, and this is a waterfall plot that those of us who treat patients with solid tumors love to see. It almost looks like a leukemia waterfall plot where you see all of these beautiful responses for patients who had HER2-positive colorectal cancer being treated with both trastuzumab and lapatinib, about a 40% response rate. But even more importantly than that, on the spaghetti plot, this is the Italian study, that on the right side, those are really prolonged responses that you saw. This is the combination of trastuzumab and pertuzumab for patients with HER2-positive treatment refractory metastatic colorectal cancer. And this is one of the basket trials that Dr. McKenzie was alluding to in his presentation about taking patients with HER2-positive disease, tumor agnostic, and treating them with anti-HER2 therapies. Just like we saw with the Heracles trial, this response rate of almost 40% for patients with HER2-positive disease, and these were also prolonged responses.